I would be sorely amiss this morning in light of the fact that I was with you last a year ago. I would be amiss if I did not express my gratitude to our gracious God for Him answering your prayers on my behalf. As many of you will recall, in the beginning months of 2016, I spent 3.5 months in the hospital due to pancreatitis. It was a severe bout of pancreatitis, and in which I lost 70% of my pancreas. Even when I left the hospital in the end of March 2016, I had to be taught how to walk upstairs. I had a person come visit my home to teach me how to walk on grass. I never thought I needed to be taught how to walk on grass, an uneven surface. I had to be taught how to get in and out of a bathtub. Be taught how to walk with a cane. When I first drove my car, a month after I had left the hospital, my wife Laura was not as confident as I was, and rightly so. I took the wheel of my car, and she told me to enter in a small little shopping mall. I saw the entrance. I put my flasher on, but missed it by 15 feet. And drove on a sidewalk. At that moment, my wife did not want me to drive anywhere. And I thought my travel days were over. After 35 years of traveling across Canada and the United States. But you and many saints prayed. And the Lord so gracious in answering your prayers. Last year, in total, 2017, I traveled 16 trips, 10 to the United States, and 6 to Canada. In the 6 trips to Canada, I visited every province of Canada. I went from Victoria Island to St. John's, Newfoundland. In the year 2018, thus far, I have made 10 trips and one upcoming to Arizona and New Mexico to speak in assemblies in Winslow, in Phoenix, and Tucson, Arizona. I never would have thought that possible. So this is the Lord's doing. And may He receive the praise and the glory. Despite the fact that the Lord has restored my health, I am still a type 1 diabetic, which means I have to take 4 injections of insulin a day. Now, I'm not the only type 1 diabetic in Canada, to be sure. I understand that. But it is a real challenge when I travel to different time zones. For instance, this past week I was in Alberta. That's a 2-hour change. I'm accustomed in Toronto to eat at 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, 5:30. But 12 noon in Eastern Standard Time is 10 o'clock Calgary time. And so it's a real challenge. That part is a challenge, is how to travel from one time zone to another and know exactly when you should take that insulin injection. So I still need your prayers is what I'm trying to tell you. I trust you're encouraged to see me here. You have prayed, right? And I'm so grateful for the opportunity these many years. It seems like almost like tradition now to speak at Listowel Bible Chapel once a year, the first Sunday in August. And Your fellowship has come to mean much to me over the years now. I reckon I've been coming to Listowel for about 15 years, if not more. I can't quite understand why you keep having me back, but better not to know those things. I would like this morning to share a single verse of Scripture. It is the most meaningful verse of Scripture in my life. And I looked over my notes and wondered if I had shared that with you before in one of my visits. And much what I will share today is my own personal testimony. But let me begin by reading the verse first. And then, over the next 45 minutes or so, expound why that verse is so very special to me personally. Okay? Even if you said no, I would have still gone on anyway. If you turn in the New Testament to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Romans. Brother, can you do me a favor? My hands are sweaty already. Can you just turn that on? Great, you did it with two fingers. You see, you might want to pray for my strength a little bit more after you saw that. But you might not have had sweaty hands like I have sweaty hands at the moment. Romans chapter 5, specifically, Romans chapter 5, and the last verse in that chapter is the most meaningful verse of Scripture in my life. It's a verse in many ways that the Holy Spirit used to change my life forever. Not only in this life, but for all eternity. In Romans chapter 5, verse 21, we read the following. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. There were, in this verse, three specific words that pointed me to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ for salvation 3 days later. Three words in this verse. And one verse or one word that is missing that I did not see. So three words that I saw that changed my life forever. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, and one word that did not appear. Okay? And I hardly think this will keep you on the edge of your seats, but I wonder as we look at this verse together this morning with the help of God's Holy Spirit, I wonder if you will be able to discern the three words. Specific words in this verse that pointed me to the cross and the one word that's missing. Now, if you get all four, I wish I had a prize. I'm sorry. But if you get all four, you certainly deserve a star. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Let's go. Now, just as a prologue, it should be said that when I read this verse of Scripture in February 1974, I was 22 years old. I had been raised very religiously. But that being said, when I read Romans chapter 5, I had been reading the Bible only for a week or so. I had started in Romans chapter 1. I had, despite all those years of religious life, I had not read the Word of God.
And the Word of God says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And yet, despite all those years of religious life, the Bible was an unknown book to me personally. I had not read through the New Testament. I had read only these five chapters of Scripture. One other thought before I begin. As mentioned already, I was 22 years old when I read this verse. Till that point in my life, I had met only one person who had a Bible of their own. You just let that sink in just for a bit. That would not be so surprising, I guess, if I had never been to church at any time in my life. But the fact that I had been to church for 22 years, Sunday after Sunday, and had never met one single person who had a Bible of their own is a startling fact. Not only was the Bible unknown to me, it was also unknown in many ways to people that attended the church where I grew up in. And sad to think, and I say this not derogatorily, the Bible was an unknown book to those who taught me in that church system for 22 years. Okay? That's the context. So when I read Romans chapter 5, verse 21, I was reading this verse for the very first time. If I had known what would take place 3 days later, that I would be saved by the grace of God, I would have kept notes. I would have written down. I wish I could just look back and see how the Spirit of God had brought me from Romans chapter 1 to Romans chapter 5. If I had known what would take place on a Sunday evening, 3 days later, I would have written down my reflections on this verse. Okay? All right. Nobody's following me, but I'll continue on anyway. Well, the first thing I noticed is that there is one word that appears twice in this verse. And when a word appears twice, it's important. It's key. When a word is repeated twice, it's for the purpose, oftentimes, of emphasis. And thus, it is repeated. Or it is for the purpose of making a contrast. And there is a contrast in this word that is or appears twice. And that is the verb in the sentence that we read. Rain. That same verb appears twice. But once, it appears in the past, as sin hath reigned unto death. It's in the past. It's the past tense. Even so, my grace reign, true righteousness, there it appears in the present. Not just in the future, but in the present. It's possible, therefore, to know what it's like to live under the reign of grace in the present. That's all that I saw at the very beginning. You know,
I cannot recall exactly my reflections back then, but I remember at least this much. This verse describes a change in reigns. One reign has given way to another reign. The reign of sin unto death, it has been overthrown. It has been conquered. It has been set aside. It has been replaced by a more powerful reign. The reign of grace. Do you know, and I'll just interject this now because I don't know. If I don't say it now, I'll forget to say it. Do you know in 22 years of religious life how little, if almost ever, Sunday after Sunday had ever heard the word grace? Now, I made a few assumptions. I've got to hurry, lest all of you fall asleep. I knew at least this much. No two reigns can coexist. Either one reign rules, or the other prevails. When Queen Victoria was sitting on the throne of England for many years, superseded now by Elizabeth II in time, yes. But when Queen Victoria was the queen of the British Empire, it was only she who reigned. There was not somebody else reigning at the same time. When I saw this verse, I said, Louis, under which reign are you presently living? It can only be one of two. There's not a third. Either you're living under one reign or another. The two cannot exist at the same time. The second assumption I made, I didn't understand very much. Listen, I was only reading the word for the first time, you see. Every reign has a throne. Is that not correct? Somebody said yes. Somebody's following me. Every reign has a throne, and every throne has a king who is the single occupant of that throne. And so the inevitable question that I asked myself back in February 1974 was this. Louis. Who is sitting in uncontested power on the throne of your life, Louis? It was the very first time that I realized that it was a who and not a what. It's the first time in my life that I realized that salvation was in a person and not in a religion. Now, some of you have been raised in Christian homes. You don't really follow me, do you? You've known this since you were young children, but I didn't. The third assumption I made, Louis, you are always being ruled over. You are always living under one of those two reigns. Louis, this verse describes a change in reigns. Can you say, Louis, that there has been such a change in your life? Is it possible for you, Louis, to say, I once lived under the reign of sin unto death,
But now that is past. But now, true, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, I live in a different reign, not just in the future, but now. The reign of grace unto eternal life. The very word reign, it implies the sense of rule, the sense of dominion. For you see, from the very moment that Adam willfully rebelled and sinned against God, true disobedience, every human being fell under the powerful rule and dominion of sin. When Adam fell, all fell in him. There is no exception to that rule. All are born under the reign of sin unto death. You see, I had already read Romans chapter 3 before I got to Romans chapter 5. And what had I read in Romans chapter 3? But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. So all were born under the reign of sin unto death. And because this is so, because man, all men are born under the reign of sin, man is not free to sin or not to sin. He cannot but sin because he is a sinner. He is both a sinner by nature, but he is also a sinner by choice. When I saw that, it began to cause my heart, as it were, to consider that truth. At that point of my life, despite the fact that I went to church Sunday after Sunday, I thought myself to be free. I had not understood until I read that verse that Adam had lost my freedom. I did not understand that I was living under the powerful, totalitarian rule of sin. That's the first time in my life that sin wasn't something nebulous out there. No, it was something that ruled me as a tyrant, as a totalitarian ruler. And the reason why I use the word totalitarian is not to impress you with a big word. The reason I've used it is because the word total is in totalitarian. Right?
Right.
And so what does that word then for mean? It meant that there was not one single aspect of my life that was not under the tyrannical rule of sin. It was total. My mind, my soul, my heart, my will, my affections, and my feelings. It's the first time in my life when I read this verse that I knew that I was confronted with the fact that I wasn't free at all. That I was in fact a slave to the reign of sin in my life. And because I had not realized then that truth till I read this verse, I had therefore never felt the need in those 22 years of my life to repent of my sin before God and to look to the cross of his Son, Jesus Christ as my only hope for
salvation.
You know, just an added note. I trust you're still all following me. I'll get to those three words and the word that's missing. You're going to leave enough time, are you, Louis? I trust. People who live in Syria, who live in a country under totalitarian rule, you do not have to persuade them that they are not free. It is evident. It is clear. But those who live under the reign of sin are blinded to the truth that they are even living in slavery, in bondage to it. They think themselves free when in fact they are shackled by sin. Yeah. You don't have to tell people in Syria they're living under totalitarian rule. But go to people in Listowel and tell them they're living under the reign of sin. They won't understand what you are saying. They're living in a free country. They're free to come, to go, to do what they please. To convey this thought that they are actually living under the rule, the dominion of sin, that it's ruling them. No. But it was the very first time in my life that I recognized that I wasn't as free as I thought I was. Either I was ruled by sin, or either I was ruled by grace. It could not be both. That's all I understood. You say, Louis, you didn't understand an awful lot. Well, you know, maybe that's an encouragement. Right? You don't have to understand necessarily all that the Bible teaches before you come to Christ as your Savior. You might say, well, I need to study the Bible more. Agreed. But I knew very little. When I gave my life to the Lord, that Sunday night. But that being said, when I knelt beside that bed and repented of my sin and looked to Christ alone, I was saved by the grace of God then and forever.
Amen.
Okay. I also noticed something else that I had never considered. These two reigns have a different outcome. The reign of sin ends in death. The reign of grace ends in eternal life. You know, I hate to repeat this again. I've already said it a few times, but I was 22 years old at the time. How many seconds is that? Minutes. Hours. Weeks, months, had I already lived through. But never once. Not once in those 22 years, and I think that's beyond 70 million seconds, whatever. It's a lot of seconds. Okay? I had never considered my end. Never once considered my end till I read that verse. This wasn't just a philosophical argument. Which reign do you belong to? Louis, there's more to it than that, Louis. Consider your end. It is very important that you belong to the second reign and not the first anymore. Now, I did not understand about the second death. I did not understand about the spiritual death, that I was already dead in trespasses and sins. Listen, I had not read through the Word of God. I did not understand those things. And when I thought of eternal life, I always thought about it in the future. But here it was set in the present. The first time I saw in my life, through the help of the Holy Spirit, that you could begin to enjoy eternal life.
here in this lifetime is the first time I saw that in that verse. No, I don't expect you to do cartwheels. This is an assembly, after all, and we have to control our emotions. But that changed my life. I knew at least this when I read that verse. There's no hope when death occurs. You know, as I mentioned, I was in the hospital for 3.5 months. And in 2016, two men died in the bed next to mine. And I noticed one thing after those two men had died. Before they were taken out of the room, nurses did not attend to them anymore. Nobody came to take their pulse, to take a swab of their blood, or check, or to see if the IV bag needed to be changed. You understand what I'm saying? Death ended it, physically speaking. That's all that I understood when I read. That's all that I understood. How categorical death is. It's almost as though you cannot say anything further. What else can you possibly say beyond the fact that a man is dead? A man cannot be almost dead. No, he is in fact dead. There is no life that exists there at all. The reign of sin, what a powerful reign that is. You know, while I had not read the scriptures, I had seen firsthand in my life how powerful that reign is. Can I describe three things about that reign? And then I'll get to the four words. It'll be brief. You all look so worried that I won't get to them. Anybody have an idea yet? Okay, well, I don't expect anybody to shout it out, because I might tell you, you did not get a passing grade. First of all, the Bible says that those that live under the powerful reign of sin unto death are swept by an irresistible current. I had not read the book of Ephesians, but it does say in the book of Ephesians, in times past or before you came to Christ, you walked according to the course of this world. The word course there means the powerful current of this world. It's not only powerful, it is irresistible. Now, we don't get many hurricanes in Canada, but I lived through one. No, not Hurricane Hazel in 1956. I was alive then, but I don't remember it. Hurricane Igor. You remember that one? It hit the eastern part of Newfoundland. And who was traveling in Newfoundland at the time that Hurricane Igor came through? Yours truly. It was supposed to be simply a tropical storm, but it turned into a hurricane, Category 1. But that being said, it wasn't very powerful amongst hurricanes, but it created a lot of damage. I was driving between Gander, Newfoundland, heading to St. John's, Newfoundland, to have a meeting on a Wednesday evening, and Hurricane Igor hit. And all of a sudden, the ditch along the Trans-Canada Highway, that is an empty ditch, that is a dry ditch, within 20 minutes became a raging current. We were told that we had to turn around. I could see that water, that raging current, was already starting to gnaw or to eat away at the edge of the shoulder of the road. I was told not to put my wheel on the shoulder of the road when I turned my car. You see, Louis, what's the point of all of this? I only use that as an illustration, you know, that no matter how strong a swimmer you may be, you could never have
prevailed against that current of Hurricane Eva. You could not have gone. You could not have swam in your own strength against that current. It would have swept you away in its wake. Oh, I hadn't read that verse in Ephesians, no. But I had heard the gospel for the first time at age 17, but now I was 22 reading the Bible. Why did it take me 5 years? Because I was living in a college residence. And I knew that if I came to Christ as my friend was, the only one that I knew had a Bible of their own, that I would be mocked and persecuted like he was. And because of that, I allowed myself to be swept along by that irresistible current of this world. I wouldn't have understood that verse in Ephesians, listen, but I understood it enough in my life to understand that I was powerless against it. It is a powerful rein, you see. Blindness. Oh, I got 15 minutes left. You all look so worried. Another characteristic of people living under the reign of sin is blindness to spiritual truth. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, the man that is still outside of Jesus Christ, the man who has not yet repented and come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, cannot grasp spiritual truth. I recall a dear man, a mechanic on the Hull Transit System, the Twin City to Ottawa in the province of Quebec. And he had been witnessed to by a few of his workmates that had come to know Christ as their Savior. And this dear man said to these Christian workmates, he said, "I don't understand what you're saying." He was interested, but he couldn't understand it. And one day, he's working, sitting at work. I don't know how you can explain this. The scales fell off his eyes. The only way you can explain it. And suddenly, with excitement, he went to his Christian workmates and he simply said, "I can see it now." He had not become smarter overnight. And neither did I in February 1974. But it was only because of the grace of God that gave me sight. And for the first time in my life, I understood why it was necessary for Christ to die on the cross of Calvary. Why it was necessary for blood to be shed to wash away my sins. The reign of sin is a powerful reign. And it is a reign that you and I cannot free ourselves from on our own. And I am not sure if any verse in the scriptures describes the totalitarian power of the reign of sin unto death than what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 7. Okay, we're looking at Romans chapter 5, right? Say yes, it'll help me. So I had read from Romans chapter 1, always to Romans chapter 5, but now I come to Romans chapter 7, and I would be saved through reading Romans chapter 8. But what's written in Romans chapter 7 that kind of sealed that I was a slave to the reign of sin in my life? In Romans chapter 7, we read, "But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of lust." The word "taking occasion" there means sin used the law as a base of operations. But Paul is saying there when I read the day before I was saved is that the reign of sin is so very powerful that it actually uses the very law of God as a base of operations to bring about an evil outcome. I mean, surely we had seen that. I had seen that in my life. I remember my mother and my father telling me there was an evangelical church just down the street where I lived in Kappa's Facing, Ontario. I walked beside in front of that church. Hundreds and hundreds of times in my youth. Until the day when my parents said to me, "Louis, if it rains outside, we would prefer you get home soaking wet than to ever find that building as a refuge." They were laying down, if I can put it that way, the law. I never had any interest in looking what was inside the building. Until my parents laid down the law. And the next time I walked in front of that building, I checked the door to see if it was open so I could peek inside. I never had any interest before. It sounds a little bit silly, and I'm not meaning it to sue. It's just, well, the law of God, or the law which God gave to man, was holy and perfect in every way. The reign, the dominion of sin in the unregenerate man is so very strong that even the law of God could not deliver him from the power of sin in his life. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. An irresistible current. Blindness to truth. The law of God. Sin being so powerful that it uses the law of God as an occasion to sin against God, even though the law was perfect. Yeah. You see, there's a verse that says, "In due time Christ died for the ungodly." But that verse begins with this: "When we were yet without strength." First time, without ability. That's what that word strength means there. You cannot save yourself. Okay. You want the three words in the word that's missing? Say yes. I kept it to the end so you'd stay awake. The three words in this verse have pointed me to the cross. Okay? All right. So, I came to one conclusion that day back in 1974. I no longer want to live under the reign of sin unto death. I want to live under the reign of grace unto eternal life. How do I go from what reign to this reign? Through. That's the first word. I seem to disappoint you so much. You're all looking at me. How many of you had that word? Through. There was a way through. You don't seem as excited. You go to some place and you say, "I'll go and visit my friend and I'll walk through his backyard to see him." True implies that there is a way. There was a way for me to go from that one sin, from that one reign to the other reign, so that I could now say myself, "I once lived under the reign of sin, but no longer. I now live under the reign of grace unto eternal life through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ." There was a way through righteousness. That's where the word was missing. Remember when I said three words? There's a word that's missing. My. M-Y. Small word. For 22 years, I had been taught, I had believed that I can earn eternal life
through my righteousness. But the word my does not appear. It says true righteousness, not my own. I need to be made right before God. I have to be right before God in order to be with God for all eternity. That's the only conclusion I came up to. Sorry, you're expecting something more profound from the look on your faces. That changed my life. The word my is missing. Do you know how liberating that is? The first time I didn't see that word my, I looked to that other word, grace. All I thought was works. It doesn't mention works there. It mentions grace, the gift of God. Do you understand how liberating that was to me when I read this? True righteousness. But whose? I mean, if it's not mine, if my righteousness is not sufficient to earn favor with God, then whose? Whose righteousness had to be placed to my account? I didn't even understand the spiritual word impute or put to my account. I did not understand that. I did not understand that salvation is more than just washing your sins away. It's like a ledger. You see, on the one side of the ledger are your debts, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes away your debts. It makes you clean. But salvation is more than just that. If it was just that, it would be sufficient. But there's the other side of the ledger, isn't there? See, I didn't even take an economics class. Okay. The other side of the ledgers is assets. The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is put on that side of the ledger. Salvation is both sides. It takes away the debits and adds the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. True righteousness. So what was the second word that pointed me to the cross? True righteousness unto eternal life by. You don't get, by Jesus Christ. That's the first time I understood what the cross was all about. That there was something what the Lord Jesus Christ had done, the second person of the Trinity, had done for me so that the righteousness, his perfect righteousness, can be put to my account through faith. It was by Jesus Christ. True righteousness, being made right, and who alone could make me right before God? Jesus Christ. You all look so disappointed. True, by. But there's one other word. Okay? And I knew I wasn't saved when I read this verse, this word. Want to know what it is? I just wanted to see if you were still awake. By Jesus Christ. Our law. Our. Oh boy. I did not need to be told when I read that word, our, that you needed to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only those who can call the Lord Jesus Christ mine who can say, I once lived under the reign of sin unto death, but now, through his perfect righteousness, I am his and he is mine. Louis, can you call the Lord Jesus Christ?
I could not. And that's when I realized, through the help of the Holy Spirit, that there was a way, that I needed to be His now, to enjoy eternal life, yea, even here below. To enjoy it in full, one day in glory, yes. But it had to be mine in this life. It's in the present. Those three words, through, by, an hour, 40 meters across. And the word that was missing, my. You know, that happened a long time ago, 44 years ago. But I can still think back upon that Sunday evening, the joy of knowing now my sins forgiven, the joy of knowing that I was saved by the grace of God in and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A transaction was made, if I can put it that way, very simply, in that room, in my room beside my bed, that changed my life forever. And you know, in closing, perhaps just another lesson. It's not the most important lesson, but we ought to pay attention to every word of Scripture. Every word is important. Ask the Spirit of God to shed light into your heart as you read the Word of God. Don't do it carelessly. Every single little word, even the true, the by, and the hour, are important. I've got to ask the question. You say, well, Louis, why should you ask a question at the end? Because nobody asked the question of me for 22 years of life. Can you say it? I once lived under the powerful rule of sin in my life. It ruled in every aspect of my life. But praise be to God, there is a reign, the reign of grace, that is more powerful than that reign. The grace of God is greater than my sin. Can you say? I once lived under the reign of sin unto death. That was me, but it's no longer me now. Because of what Jesus Christ did for me, I now live and will live forever under the reign of grace. Amen.
Amen.
That verse was the most meaningful verse in my life. And tonight, if we have time, and if the Spirit directs that way, I would like to share with you, did I not say at the beginning, there was one person who had a Bible of their own? Did I say that at the beginning?
Yes, that's right.
And the man who knew, who had a Bible of his own, gave me a Bible so I could read those verses in Romans. So I want to share a little bit about how one man impacted my life for the gospel. One in 22 years. I'm not sure if you'll come back, but I trust you come back for part B. Father, thank you for your precious word. I don't reckon that these words would be as meaningful, perhaps, to those who listened this morning. And perhaps there are verses in their lives that you use to point them to the cross that are more special, to be sure, than what we read. But I thank you for one thing, But the Bible makes clear the desperate situation that we are in. But it doesn't leave us there. That verse did not simply speak of the reign of sin unto death. No, it tells of a way through, a way out of that reign. It tells who it is that must accomplish that. It tells us that we have to have a relationship with that one who has taken us out of that reign of sin unto death. And so that verse explains not only our sinful plight, it explains in just one verse how we can escape. And how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Oh, I pray that everyone here, every person in this place, is living under one reign or another. It's one of two. And sadly, if they are still living under the reign of sin unto death, may they be led by thy Spirit, as you led me, to eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is only by faith that the righteousness of Christ becomes ours. I pray this for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen.